The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Folks, I am the big O, Jerry Ostrowski. She is my sister from another mister, Sarah Larson, down in Miami. And this is the Line to Gain show on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. I am sporting my fresh new gear, my Taylor's version sweatshirt that my nephew was kind enough to get for me. Because if you don't know, the whole story behind Taylor's version has to do with when the guy sold her music. She redid her lyrics so that it became hers. So it's Taylor's version. So basically with the Shield, as we all know, Taylor owns the NFL right now. But yeah. Hey, we've been apart for a few weeks. Happy to be back tonight here on the normal night, but 1 hour early.
Yeah, we're going to confuse the one.
Yeah, we're all fired up to get back. And then we get hit by old Velvet Voice himself, Spence, where he's like, hey, man. Joe's traveling. Can we switch the times real quick? And that's the thing is like Spence drops that voice on you. And you can't say no. You're like,
no, yeah.
You just become hypnotized. You're like, of course, Spence will do it for you. But anyway, we're back and we've got a lot to talk about. Bills lose another one. They lose Monday night at home to the Broncos. Subsequently, the next morning, Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, is fired. Joe Brady, former Saint, former Carolina Panther, and famously the passing game coordinator for the 2019 LSU Tigers of Joe Burrow that went on to win a national championship. He is now our acting offensive coordinator. We'll talk about that stuff as well as some other things, but my girl is back. She was up in Buffalo on Monday night. Sarah, how are you doing?
As you can probably hear, I mean, I hear it. I don't know if anyone else can. I think we jinxed me a couple weeks ago talking about how healthy I've remained during my, you know, 53-game streak. Unfortunately, I, you know, have a cold, sinus infection, something. I've taken two COVID tests at home. They both came back negative, but I went to Walgreens today to actually get a COVID test, like a real one, just to make sure that I can get on this flight this weekend. I had my LASIK eye surgery on Friday.
How did that go? How was that?
It was interesting to say the least. But they were absolutely amazing. And yes, I am going to tout them a little bit. They are our show sponsor. They definitely treated me like a VIP. It felt great. And just talking to the guys and them all being in the room and walking me through each step. And I hope they do that for everybody. I really do.
So but, let me ask you a question. So you can fly that quickly after you get this done? Because I would love to get LASIK. I wear glasses. And, of course, we're talking about our great sponsors, Invicta, Endel, and Elmer. We'll hear a little bit about them here in a moment. But you're able to fly that quickly? Because I'm contemplating going up and getting it done.
Yeah, that's the first question I asked. I was like, am I allowed to fly? They prefer you don't fly for a week, just, you know, so you're close to them just in case. But they said there's absolutely no reason why you can't. It's a pressurized cabin. So there's no reason. People fly in all the time. You do have to be there for at least an extra day because you do have your first follow-up the day after your surgery. So I had it done on Friday. Saturday was my follow-up. Again, they were amazing. They walked me through every step. They actually adjusted my surgical plan that morning. We talked about it, you know, a little bit, or that afternoon, I should say. We talked about it a little bit further. You know, we adjusted, and my eyesight on Saturday morning was a little concerning. I'm not going to, you know, I even tweeted it. I'm not going to lie to nobody. I was concerned, because I couldn't see anything close up, and I was like, this is not great. You know, before I had, you know, 20/20 vision up close. I am over 40, for those, you know, for most of you know that, but they do say that once you are over 40, that when you have LASIK, there's a chance you're going to need readers. And so they do what they call monovision. So they correct one eye just a little bit less than the other. So then you don't need those readers for a little bit longer, you know, usually after 50 instead of after 40. And I was like, oh no, they overcorrected me. I you know, freaked out a little bit. They reassured me that I still had swelling, and that it'll progressively go down, and it has. So, it's still, my up close vision is still not the same. I will admit that it's still not the same as it was before. But they say that some people take up to a week. So, hopefully by this Friday, it will be completely better. But I'll tell you what, as much as I did not want to see the game Monday night going the game and not have to wear contacts or glasses, and just seeing things in a different way, that's when I first like realized, it's like, okay, I could see differently now. I could see the names, I could see the numbers without having to look on the television, you know, the big television screen.
Right.
So it was definitely, you know, I would do it again in a heartbeat. I would tell people, do it, especially if you're the kind of person that wears glasses every day. I, you know, definitely recommend it.
Well, hey, before we get it too far into the show, we'll get a quick breakdown. I'll get into some stats from the Monday night game. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsor, Invicta, Endel, and Elmer.
Picture this: crystal clear vision without the hassle of glasses or contacts. Imagine watching Josh Allen's game-changing touchdowns with absolute clarity. At Invicta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, we can make that a reality. Now, in a matter of seconds with Zeiss Smile technology, you can see clearly and get back to doing the things you love as soon as the next day. Visit us online at Invicta.com and take our free self-test to see if you're eligible and schedule an evaluation. At Invicta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you. Go Bills.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Buffalo Bills lose Monday night to the 4-5 now Denver Broncos. Bills are 5-5, second in the AFC East, and pretty heartbreaking loss considering a game that we all felt they should have won. Also, the fact that the last-minute field goal or last-second field goal was missed, and then we had 12 men on the field. It was confirmed that Leonard Floyd was that 12th man that was out on the field before the missed kick, and then obviously they make the kick afterwards, but Josh Allen only 15 of 26 for 177 yards. He had two interceptions. We did run the ball extremely well. Cook had 12 carries for 109 yards, a 9-yard average. Murray had 9 carries for 68. Josh Allen himself had 4 for 13. And we definitely got the running game going. Gabe Davis, after a really, really shaky, poor start, comes back 2 catches for 56. Dalton Kincaid, who also had a very vital drop, 5 for 51. Diggs, only 3 for 34 yards. Shakir with a catch. Cook and Murray both had 2 catches each out of the backfield. Bass, no field goal attempts, only 2 extra points made. And Bernard led the way in tackles with 8 on a defense that I thought, Sarah, a defense with 5 starters from the first season opening game that are out and not playing, I thought that defense played their tails off the entire game and kept the Bills in the position where they had a chance to win.
I mean, hasn't that been the story, though? Like, it's so frustrating that, you know, I feel like the defense keeps us in, and then the offense finally figures it out, and then it's that one drive that the defense needs to stop them, and they can't. You know, like, it feels like it's been that way a lot, especially, you know, we get that game-winning drive in, and we go ahead, and then can't stop them on defense.
The penalty was trash. I thought the penalty was very, very suspect.
And we've all, you know, went through it. Is it defensive pass interference based on the, context and the rule? Yes. Should something be changed? Yes. And I think that's where most of us are griping, is when the ball's underthrown and you have the, the offensive player coming back towards the ball when the defensive player is going full speed racing down the field. It gets to the point where you can't expect them to put on their brakes that quickly and stop if the ball's underthrown. So I feel like there needs to be, we can't keep on rewarding these quarterbacks for badly thrown balls.
But I also think I do have one Grinch or question of what you said. The defense did get a stop. A missed field goal is a stop.
I was talking about before that,
right, and then we have the 12 men on the field, so right. I'm just my only issue defensively was McDermott's MO is when things get a certain way, he's going to bring pressure. It's hard to bring pressure when you're playing with your 10th, 11th, and 12th, some of your, DBs. It's hard to do that. And obviously, the trade with Green Bay for, what's my man's name? The corner that we signed.
Rasul Douglas.
Yeah, I thought that was a great pick. I mean, obviously, he's playing, doing well. He seems to have jumped in seamlessly, but I thought the defense did an honorable job considering what they're missing. And again, I mean, Ed Oliver goes out and has a monster game. And while did he sack the quarterback? No, but he caused about 3 of the sacks that we had. His pressure up the middle, he was dominating. He was eating Ben Powers alive. The concerning thing to me on the defense, obviously, and I talked to my sons about this because we have a group text, and we're talking about it, and my son that plays at Tulsa, he's like, look, I understand he had an injury, but I'm really concerned watching Von Miller on the field, not only just how slow he looks, just can he protect himself?
And he had his first solo tackle of the season against the Broncos. First solo tackle.
Right.
He's really
struggling to move.
He only had one assisted tackle before that. Right. So, it's concerning what we're paying for him. But at the same time, I haven't watched enough to really zone in on whether or not he's affecting plays, even though the stats might not be showing it, whether or not he's affecting plays or whether or not, anyone is, has to prepare differently because he's on the field. I don't know. I haven't really, broken it down like that. So just because the stats aren't there, I can't say that, he's a waste, you know, a waste this year or whatever. We do also have to understand that he's not even a year removed from his injury. It'll be a year next week on Thursday. And don't forget, he didn't have surgery until about 2 weeks after his right. injury.
But ACLs are return. And I get it. I mean, I don't expect him to be pre-ACL Von Miller right now, but I expect him to look a lot better than he does.
Well, and again, I haven't broken it down like that. So we gave Trey a pass a lot last year and said, you know, he actually didn't come back until almost a full year as well. And then when he did come back, he didn't look like the same Trey White. And we all, you know, said it's probably going to take until next year for him to be, you know, to be the same Trey. You know, we've kind of slowly worked Von back into the defense. I don't know if that's by design or because Sean sees it too. I don't know.
I think Sean sees it too. I think you try to get him back in, you try to get him going, but it's obvious that he's not going to be a difference maker this season. And I'll give him till next season. We'll see how it is. But again, I also think that, you know, Von is of age where it's starting to become tougher to come back from those types of things. Yeah. And, you know, it's definitely going to take him a little longer with the age he is.
Yeah. You know, he's still young per se, but not in football, you know, years. So, it is.
We're not definitely talking about you, Sarah. We're talking about Von Miller.
No, it goes for anybody, you know, especially when you're dealing with the second or third injury. So, right. You know, he's already had knee injuries. I think it was his other knee though before with the ACL. I don't quote me on that, but, you know, maybe he's favoring it a little bit more still. I also think he wants to be there at the end of the year. So maybe it's a little, I was listening to something today that right now we've lost so many people on defense that it's almost a little psychological when you go out there, because you don't want to be next. Right. You want to be able to, you know, affect this team into December and January, provided we make it into January. So maybe he's not going as hard as he could, or maybe he's just not there yet.
Bills are 5-5. I think they have to go 5-2 the rest of the way to have an outside shot of
now that today that we found out Cleveland has decided that Watson is going, he's gotten several doctor's opinions and he is done for the season. He right. has to have surgery. They're going to go with the rookie Dorian Robinson Tom. I can't, yeah, I call him DRT.
Yeah.
Or DTR. That's what I call him all the time. So he's going to be the starter. And to be honest with you, I thought PJ Walker would have given them a little bit of a better chance. But them going with the rookies kind of interesting. It kind of gives them, you know, a little outlook of what they have for their future. But without Watson, you wonder, they still have a great defense. But you know, will they nudge in as the seventh wild card, you know, spot, or could this potentially have them fall out? So I would have said 6-1 over the next seven games in order to get in. Again, it's all dependent on what the AFC East teams do. Because if, you know, all of a sudden Miami goes on a losing streak, which I don't foresee, but if they did, this could be a very different conversation in December. But if they continue their winning ways, then Buffalo's only chance is through a wild card. And with that being said, maybe 5-2 now, you know, going into the last stretch, but I don't think they have much more room other than, you know, one or two games. So I definitely agree with you there.
So obviously the offense has been a major sticking point the whole season. It's been the topic of most conversations, the inconsistency of the offense, the play of Josh Allen. We talked about, yes, he leads the league in percentage completion and all that stuff, but
stats can
when
lie.
You watch, yeah, when you watch this team, you know that he's not playing to previous levels. Sean McDermott felt the same way, obviously. He relieves Ken Dorsey of his offense coordinator duties.
Right.
And we bring in Joe Brady. We're going to discuss a little bit of that. You have some things to discuss.
Yeah.
Arlovsky's points, Kurt Warner's points,
right,
and some different things as far as outsiders and what they feel.
Right. My first question to you, it's been kind of posed on social media a lot. We talked about it a little bit yesterday on our breaking news segment. Because there was 12 men on the field, they get another chance. The Broncos get another chance to kick this field goal. And the second chance, they make it. The first one, they did not. The Bills would have won by 1 point. In your opinion, and you know, I can kind of quickly, what I had stated was that I had felt like Dorsey does not get fired if we didn't have 12 men on the field. We would have won that game. It would have been, wow, Dorsey schemed up this great fourth quarter drive late in the game, game-winning drive, and it would have been a very different story. They needed, and this goes back and forth, and we'll talk about what several, you know, of the national media is saying, but they needed a scapegoat. They needed someone to blame. And, you know, whether or not you feel like Dorsey deserved it, I would never say someone deserves to be fired, but whether or not we needed a change. How do you feel if we did not have that penalty? Do you think we're sitting here with Brady as our offensive coordinator now?
I think you can look at this a bunch of different ways. If they missed a field goal and then Josh Allen goes on the field and we go into, you know, our fast mode and he goes and does what Josh normally does when we go hurry up, which is make a lot of completions, score touchdowns. We're back in the same boat. Dorsey still has his job and the fan base is screaming, "See, I told you, if you just let Josh Allen cook, we're great." Right. Well, I think this issue is more than somebody just letting Josh Allen cook. I think there's a lot of stuff to it. If they win, obviously, I don't think Dorsey gets fired. But him being there another week does not fix the problems. I almost believe, Sarah, that this firing is as much of a wake-up call for Josh Allen as it is for the offensive side of the ball and the team in general.
Yeah. Josh today, just to let you know, I know you said you were very busy today. You didn't get to hear everything. Josh today actually said that he feels like Dorsey being let go is on him a lot, because, and you know, that it's on the offense as a whole, that they did not do their job. They did not perform the way that if the offense performed better, he still has his job. So at least he took a little bit of ownership on that.
Right. It's a standard answer, though, right? Head coach gets fired. First thing the players say in the exit meetings is, you know, we let the coach down, we let him down, whatever. You know, nowadays in college, if they fire a coach, you just watch what happened at A&M. Like 5 minutes later, there's 32 guys in the transfer portal. I mean, it's what happens. But I think a lot of this is because there was so much narrative about Dorsey being Josh Allen's handpicked.
Right.
Guy, right? His handpicked successor to Dable. And, you know, the guy that was his confidant more than Dable was and all of this. So that's why the comment I made on Twitter after this, you know, firing was announced was this firing puts even more pressure on Josh Allen to perform. And I think that, you know, Brady is a guy that, you know, yes, he was kind of labeled the super genius at one time out of LSU. There was kind of a power struggle there. And Ed Orgeron would not name him the OC So he moved on. He went to, I believe it was New Orleans before he went to Carolina. And he didn't have much success as a coordinator at Carolina. Now, he didn't have Josh Allen either. Okay.
Right. It was back with Sam Darnold and the debacle with, you know, him and Cam Newton. And, you know, and McCaffrey was down for half of both, I believe, both seasons that, you know, he was that, you know, he was the OC. So, you know, could lead to excuses, but again, statistically, he wasn't all that great.
I think the biggest challenge for Brady is going to be, and he's been in the room with this guy every week now. Remember, he's his quarterback coach. So he understands Josh and how he is and his personality and all that. I think the biggest thing for him as the OC is to find a way to get Josh Allen's confidence back, because his confidence is gone.
Right.
He is a player right now that is playing with doubt, as opposed to playing like, you know, I hate to use the term, but that Superman type of style that he plays with. So he's got to figure out a way to get this offense to be successful, but also put Josh in situations where he can get his confidence back. And I think that's the biggest thing, because you don't have to, it doesn't take a football person or a very, very smart person to understand that this franchise right now is his. It is Josh Allen's. And everybody, you know, there's 52 other sets of eyes are looking at him going, okay, what are we going to do? And, you know, he's got to get to a point where he can be successful and get that swagger back. And that's going to be Brady's biggest issue as OC, I believe.
Right. And at some point, someone needs to have the cojones to tell Josh that he needs to chill out a little bit with always having the friendly face, you know, with him. You know, they,
right. Yeah.
I mean, no offense to the other Allen, but we have someone that no one has confidence as our backup quarterback. If Josh Allen was to go down, that he's not going to be able to win us a game, let alone they usually say, can you win 50% of the games with your backup? Most of us don't think that he could win a game. So I think at this point in time, we all need to kind of tell Josh, we understand this is your team, but you need to, you know, to worry about that aspect and not having your friends nearby, not gainfully employing, your besties. So,
well, I think that I don't think Josh is, I'm not trying to start this whole thing back up again, but the strong personality presence that Diggs is and the situation that we had happen in the last season, in the off season, it's almost like the best term would be he's been neutered a little bit. I agree with you 100%, Sarah. I think you are dead on. If this is his joint, be that dude. I don't care who you piss off. You got to be who you are. You can't be somebody else. And if that makes somebody mad, that's on them. You know, it's that old adage that we don't have to be friends. We don't have to hang out. But when Sunday comes, and you're supposed to run a whatever route, a 25-yard dig or something, then you need to be there, and I'm going to throw you the ball. And I think that you're right. I mean, this there's been this forced upon the team, you know, camaraderie and, you know, all these different things, and that's not what it's about. You're not – they're at an age where, and you know this, you're not going to like one another. Get over it and start being the leader that you're supposed to be. And demand some things of some people. And in turn, you do the same thing. You step forward and be that guy as well. And I think you're 100% correct.
So the thing with me,
he's like trying to play a character that he's not.
Right. And that kind of leads into the next part. So with me, with Josh, I love fiery Josh. I love the guy that we saw on the bench for 13 seconds where he was up and in guy's face and saying, right, let's go. This is, you know, like cheering them on. And I want that same Josh when they're not winning. Right. I want the, you know, I want him in everyone's face going, you did this wrong. Now we need to do it right. You owe me a play. You owe this, you know, to the team now. Get up in. And this was, you know, it really pissed me off when they sat Cook for so long on Monday night after he had the fumble. How is that? Like, you're not putting a guy in timeout who is a grown ass man and making him feel better, you know, any better about his play.
Right.
So get him back out there, get in his face, tell him he owes the team now, and make him go out there and work, you know, work for it.
Right.
So I just feel like, you know, I hope in McDermott said today, he does not know whether or not Brady is going to be on the field or if he's going to be in the box calling the plays. I want someone who is going to be in Josh's face when something doesn't go right. And I don't know if Brady's the guy. I don't know if he's going to do it. I don't know. But, you know, I was texting with somebody. I won't call him out. But I was texting with somebody during the game, and I'm like, we got to a point in the game. I was like, it felt like we were down double digits and it was 3-0 still. I was like, I am so over this. At one point in time, the offense needs to be like, F the coach or F the coordinators and just freaking play. Like, they know that they can play. And it just, you know, it was so frustrating because they just didn't look like the team that we know and love. They didn't look like they were on. They didn't look like they were running the right routes. They didn't look like, you know, Josh looked flustered and frustrated. But it, you know, it led to Dorsey's firing. So today, Dan Orlovsky, he came out. He basically said, I think it was yesterday, actually, he came out and said, the offense is wildly predictable at the and the easiest offense to prepare for in the NFL. Everyone has to operate at a 10 in order for it to succeed. Calls it schematically broken. And, you know, he understands why Dorsey was let go. He sees why, you know, he doesn't think that Dorsey was a scapegoat. He thinks that it was, you know, a justified firing and whatnot. And then on the other hand, Kurt Warner came out today and called Dorsey's firing a scapegoat. He said he pointed out several plays where Josh is either making a wrong read or he's rushing it. He's not letting the play develop in order to get the ball where it's supposed to go based on the scheme. You know, both can be true. Both can be right to a certain extent. How do you feel about, you know, both of them and their comments?
I can see a little bit of both. But I also know that this guy last year, we did not have as many issues like this as we do this year. What Dorsey is doing, a lot of it was some of the stuff that Dable did. Again, handpicked successor by Josh Allen. I did think that Dorsey got into the problem of trying to, I don't know if I say trying to please too many people, but he was, you could tell what he was doing. He was concerned with the quarterback play and trying to find ways to get Josh involved and get his, you know, we talked about his confidence and all that. But I really do kind of lean towards Kurt Warner on this. We've seen a lot of good offensive football with the pairing of Dorsey and Josh Allen. We've seen a ton of it. It's taken us into the playoffs. There's been a lot of success between these two. The Miami game at the beginning of the year is one of those games. The Raiders game, one of those games. So why all of a sudden has that changed? And I think that Kurt has valid points on mechanics or far as reads and things like that. I'm not sure that Josh Allen is quite the, I don't want to say student, but I do think that his big arm allows him to not have to be so rigid in what he's reading and how he's doing things. His feet get him out of trouble, and his arm gets him able to make plays. And that's why his interceptions and those types of things are high. So I do think Brady has a big job. And we talked earlier about bringing back Josh Allen's confidence. It might also be trying to fix some mechanical things and trying to fix some scheme things with his quarterback to get him back how he was, because I don't care what kind of athletic ability that Josh has. I don't care what kind of arm he has. Orlovsky's right. You know, teams were preparing for him and had him figured out. How many times have we seen that ball down the sidelines picked with the safety just sitting there reading his eyes, waiting to just step
in and
catch
the ball? Dan actually did say that he doesn't think that Josh's mechanics are off. He just thinks it's basically the you know, scheme is broken. So he was pretty much, but that's that. Dan does that a lot though. If you listen to a lot of his takes, he is very pro quarterback.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, he's saying that Josh isn't broken. The scheme was, I literally tweeted out during the game, Josh Allen is broken. I feel like it could be because of the scheme that Josh is broken. But he always looks a little panicked. Not Josh. You know, Josh, we called him Sugar High Josh when he would get out of the pocket and, you know, and do a few things. But now he looks rushed from the snap. From the snap, he looks like he, you know, if he can't get it to the first person, he almost doesn't want to look at the second person,
right?
You know, and definitely not a check down guy. If the pocket is collapsing at all. So I don't know if he has absolutely no confidence in the line. I don't know what it is, but Josh does look different. So
he should have confidence in his line, because his line has actually been playing pretty damn good over the last so many games. It's not a jailbreak.
What intrigued me, and I know you haven't been able to take a, you know, take a look at the Kurt Warner video, is he basically shows, you know, the different levels of progressions that Josh has, what his first progression should be, what the second, you know, progression should be, you know, based on, you know, based on the routes that are being run and what happens with the DBs as the routes are being ran. And he actually, you know, kind of pointed out, if Josh would throw the ball now, it would have been a completion. If Josh would have, instead of going for the first read, would have went to the second read, or even waited another second, went to the third read on this play, it could have been a, you know, reception. Instead, he actually took the check down in that one. So it was still a positive play, but instead of having a first down, we got three or 4 yards. So that is, you know, that's, I don't feel like he's confident in what he's seeing on the field anymore. And I don't know if it's him overthinking the turnovers. I don't know if it's him overthinking the scheme, if he's overthinking the fact that they're now 5-5, so it's going to get worse. So someone put in the comments, at this point in time, Brady's first, you know, job is going to be to get his confidence back, to get Josh's confidence back. I want cocky Josh. I want the Josh that just got flagged for, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct and, you know, fined $10,000. For pointing at somebody because he got cocky as he was running it for a touchdown. Right. I want cocky Josh.
Justin makes a good point. Brady needs to be on the field. And that's something that I'm a big coordinator on the field guy, offensively and defensively. I think that quarterbacks especially, I know they can get on the headset, but I do believe that they need to be able to get with their guy, sit with them, talk to them, all those things. If I'm going to put a coordinator upstairs, it probably would be a DC before an OC. I just think that's important. That conversational stuff, that conversational piece is big time. And so it'll be interesting to see if he is down or they put him up top. But no, you're right. And I have a lot of respect for Kurt Warner and how he evaluates this, because this is a guy that came up the hard way. Nothing was given to him. he had to rely on being that dude as far as his ability to read defenses, be smart, understand how things work together. So I respect that assessment from him. Yes, he's a Hall of Fame player.
You know, so I look at it, and I actually replied to one of the tweets today. I was like, you know, hey, Kurt, if you want to give up your cushy broadcasting job, I heard we have a quarterback coaching position that's vacant. I would love somebody that was a successful quarterback in the NFL that still knows, you know, Peyton Manning's another one. Someone that was successful, but still seems to be a very good teacher / student of the game.
Right.
And, you know, breaks down certain things. But just the way he broke down what Josh was doing wrong was intriguing to me, because most people, you know, they're not putting it, they're not breaking down, you know, to the actual second of, you know, he did this wrong or he did this wrong.
Let me ask you this. Is this calling the question, Sarah? And this, see, we're trying to read tea leaves right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
agreed. And I said this yesterday on the show that we're speculating and we're right. always we're trying, you know,
to, so yeah. What I'm saying is speculative. It's discussing with you. It's bringing up points. Two friends are talking. I wish I had a beer right now. A Yingling, exactly. You know, and we're talking about this. This is, I wonder what his off the field prep and work ethics like as far as studying film and those types of things.
Josh's or Brady's?
Josh's.
And I would have said
is this years is this ago, where yeah different. Is this where do we, you know, how does he study, how does he prepare for games? Is this part of what was going on with some of the bickering earlier or late last year, earlier this year? Did maybe people feel he was getting too much credit and not getting held accountable? One thing I like, and I'm gonna rewind something to what you talked about earlier, and you were talking about I want pissed off, getting people's faces. And I agree with that. I mean, there's no bigger motivator in the pro game than when you maybe don't have a good game or you don't play well, and Jim walks in or Thurman walks in, and a guy like that gets in your ass. And I'm just telling you, there is no bigger motivator for a player than that.
You did it again, though, by the way, Jerry. So you're going to hear me say pause again.
Why?
You'll hear it on the replay.
Oh, again? Okay. I got you. I forgot I'm hosting with Thirst Trap.
Oh, Larson stop over here. It was funny.
Gutter mind. Yeah. Anyway, it's like, now I can't stop laughing because I know exactly what I said. But the point is this, is that great teams are player-led, okay? Player-motivated. Coaches don't have to come down and grind, you know, they don't have to, you know, do all those things to get their players going, because the players themselves are policing the locker room and policing themselves. And you're right. I mean, when we're having, and I know I want to say this, and I'll get, you know, everybody loves this second, but you know, we got locker room karaoke going on over here, and we got Dance Party USA going over here. And then we're walking through and hugging it up because we want everybody to see how, you know, united and stuff. That's not important. What's important is important. When you win, that's what your job is. Okay. That's what your job is. And there's something to be said about all this. And I think that, you know, that comes into question what Kurt said. I mean, to be that type of player that can read those second and third reads and make those throws and know where to go with the ball immediately, that's a tremendous amount of studying. And I'm speculating. I don't know. I don't know what he got. I've never met the man. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But
and I mean, like, Josh, we've all said it. It almost feels like he's regressed a little bit this year. And I don't know if that's the, if, you know, again, we're speculating, but is that the problem? I can't believe I'm saying this, but has he turned into Kyler Murray a little bit, where he's not preparing the way he should be? mentally for the games, watching film, watching, you know, preparing for the defenses. You know, again, he can be, and just doesn't talk about it the same way Mahomes talked about it on a Netflix special. So we all know about it, you know, like, but the way that Mahomes talked about how he prepares physically and mentally for every single game. Now, you know, we've heard it, we've seen it, you know, so now it's like, leaves us a little bit like, well, geez, why can't we have that? I want that Josh back, you know?
Well, when's the last time somebody's run a wrong route or done something and you've seen him challenge them on the field?
Well, that's the thing. What we've seen is dejected Josh sitting on the bench with, you know, his head between his legs and or staring at the freaking iPad. I don't want to see that anymore, because that's not helping the team. That's not helping anybody on the team. He needs to be walking over to the wide receivers and saying, this is what went wrong. You know, like, let's figure this out. This was what the play was called. The DB did this. You did this, you know, or this was my fault. The DB did this. I should have, you know, did this and I didn't. My bad. Let's run this again. And next time I'll get it right.
But it's like, also too, and before we go and before we go a little bit further, let's hear from another one of our great sponsors. Let's hear from Picasso's Pizza. I still got one in the freezer, Sarah. I'm saving it for a special occasion. Picasso's Pizza. Yep, I do. Picasso's Pizza, Buffalo's Pizza, fine sponsor of the show.
Hey, football fans, the season is here. So you know that means family, football, and food. But for the NFL's best fan base, it can't be just any food. Bills Mafia only eats the best during the season. And the best is Picasso's Pizza. With 4 great locations in Western New York, it's so easy to treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day. Picasso's. We are Buffalo Pizza. Shipping local and nationwide. Order online at picassospizza.net.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think it's also goes along with the fact, and we're talking about the offense and different things and the dynamics between players and leaders and Josh being that, you know, fiery guy on the field and everything and demanding a certain level of play out of his players. You know, I also look at, and this is why the receiver position I think is vital for us to get more talent in, to get another alpha in that room, so to speak, because, part of me thinks that Diggs does some of the stuff he does or did. Now, he hasn't had much this year. He's remained quiet because he's kind of the lone wolf, man. He's the guy. I mean, it's him who's one of the best ever played and a bunch of other dudes.
Right.
There's nobody.
And I will say that Diggs remained quiet to a certain extent on Monday night. He was on the, I sit right behind them. So he was in front of me all night long, talking to the guys. He was doing what I wish Josh would do,
right?
But he didn't do it the way he would get criticized for it in the past. Right. He was trying, like, almost forcibly smiling in the beginning, you know, getting up and, you know, motivating everybody and, you know, like, you got this. And like, I want Diggs to be Diggs, to be honest with you.
That's the point I was going to make. And it's almost like he's been, you know, He's been kind of turned down a little bit, and he needs to be who he is too. And Josh needs to be who he is, and they need to get to. So I agree with that as well. I think it goes across the board. I think there's a lot of people that this is important. I mean, it's not about being chummy. It's about winning. And hopefully Brady has a way to get, you know, to get people to play back to the levels that they can play or what they're actually able to play. Real quick, I just got a text message from The Voice, Joe Miller. So after that, Sarah and I graciously changed our start time to go an hour earlier and busted our tails to make the show for you, the fans, as we always do, because it's all about you and only you. It's not about us. It's about you. There will be no hump day tonight. So the hump day has been canceled, and The Voice wanted his many, many fans out there to know that there will be no hump day this evening. So your show tonight is us, the Line to Game Show.
So the truck reviewer said maybe Dix knows what Sarah looks like, so he was on his best behavior. What's actually funny about that is I tweeted out a picture of Ed Oliver that got over 100,000+ views-ish, because he was looking into the stands because two rows behind me, some guys were, they were being douchey, but they were calling out Gabe, saying a bunch of stuff at Gabe, you know, screaming at Gabe. And Ed Oliver looked like he had lasers coming out of his eyes. So I took a picture of it, and he was like mouthing stuff to, you know, like under his breath. And then someone walked up to him and he was like, look at this, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I probably should not do that often because I'm going to get some of these players in trouble. So, yeah, to Diggs' defense, you know, I actually did tweet out a picture of Diggs, but it was all positive. So
I didn't see a game day fit shot this week.
Probably because I felt like crap a little bit.
But what about us? But what about us, Sarah? Again, so it's not about you. It's about us.
I will admit, I kind of went all out this week and then ended up not wearing my outfit. Like, I had leather pants. I had a really cool Monday Night Football outfit. But I also got the opportunity to do the ketchup and mustard this week for Pinto Ron. So I knew I was going to be up on top of that van of his at the Hammers lot with a bunch of drunk people. And I was like, you know, it's probably not a good thing to wear my nice leather jacket and my leather pants. And, you know, I had like my boots had heels, and like, I mean, they were thick heels. They were, you know, Timberlands with heels, but I was like, you know what, let me change my outfit a little bit. So I ended up changing what I wore. So I really didn't wear anything special this week. I just wore 3 pairs of leggings because I was so freaking cold. A hoodie. And then I did wear my leather jacket, but I covered, I carried most of the day. So I didn't get used to it.
We'll save all that for the New Year's Eve game. Cause if everything goes right, it looks like, I know me and my son Owen for sure will be up there, and I don't know about anybody else. So we're coming back up to Buffalo this year.
As it's not snowing. Cause if it's cold, I'm not wearing that.
By the way, when I saw you last year, you and Spence looked like two of the saddest people I've ever seen in my life. You were like,
clothes we had on?
Yeah, you know, it was hilarious. It's like you had to wear your entire closet. I mean,
There's this girl, Trinity, that she's always on the field. I have a feeling she dates one of the players. I've never asked, but I follow her on Instagram because she always has the cutest game day fits. She was actually one of my ideas for the leather pants, one of her outfits. Right. Anyways, she tweets out this picture and she looks so super cute and she's on the field. And I'm like, meanwhile, I'm in 3 pairs of pants, 4 shirts, a hoodie and a jacket. And I was still cold.
Yeah, we're fired up to come up. I think we're going to come up early too. We're going to go to the Sabres game on Saturday night. One of our real good friends is Jason Christie, who is the bench coach for the Sabres. He used to be the head coach for the Tulsa Oilers, the CHL team here in town. And his son and my son played hockey together. So we'll get to see them and all that. So it looks like we'll be up for that New England game, but you know, we can't come to games that are warm. We have to come to the coldest ones available. Right.
So my son will be out of school, so he will be at that game with me.
Nice.
He loves the cold, so he would go in shorts if he could. I yell at him all the time because it's 30 degrees where he goes to school, and I'm like, what do you have on right now? And he's like, t-shirt, shorts. Freaking crazy. But anyways.
But let's do this. And this is something I wanted to ask you. As we move into the next week and we move into a new era as far as an offensive coordinator goes in Buffalo, what is the one thing you want to see Brady accomplish in his 7-game audition to be the next full-time right. OC?
Well, I want to see him put his stamp on it a little bit. I, you know, don't want to see the same offense, obviously, that we've seen the last couple of weeks. If he doesn't put his stamp on it, if, you know, I'm not saying that he needs to be the reason we're winning, but if we don't, win, if we don't make it to the playoffs, I can honestly see McDermott not having a job come January 8th. So, you know, I would like to see him go out there, and add a few wrinkles, make it his own offense to the point where we can see that it's his offense. But I'd like to see Josh line up under center a little bit more. You know how I feel about that.
But I want to know what it's going to accomplish.
I think it'll get the running game going. I think it'll get, you know, Josh's confidence back a little bit more. I think he operates better, especially play action under center, and not make stupid calls. You know, not make stupid calls on third and one where we're in shotgun over and over and over again. I don't think he needs to do anything crazy. I think this offense can win games just by making smart calls. So I know Ralph just put Josh wants shotgun. I understand that. But again, if it's not working, someone needs to have the balls to tell Josh it's not working. And I know most offenses nowadays operate out of shotgun, unless they're running play action. So I think that there needs to be a healthy dose of both. I think that all this, the whole point is to accomplish wins. We want to make the playoffs, and the window is very small of us getting into the playoffs this year. We have to win to do it.
If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. What I'd like to see out of Brady is, you know, one of the pieces they had in at LSU when he was down there was Edwards-Helaire, who's at Kansas City, obviously. They did a really good job of getting him the ball out of the backfield, not only handing the ball off, but also throwing it to him. I think the number one thing that I want to see from Brady is a concerted effort to make James Cook a focal point of this offense. I want to see them commit to giving him the ball X amount of times a game, whether it's a handoff, whether it's a screen pass, whether it's a dump off out of the backfield, whatever. I think he is and you know, Daddy wanted to put him in timeout because he fumbled the ball. That's his prerogative, whatever. I thought it was ridiculous. The worst thing you need to do, to me anyway, of a young player is to
bench him. He sits there and stews with it in his head for the next half an hour.
Now, granted, he got lucky later in the game and dropped the ball and picked it up and had a big run. But
And the other fumble was not on him. The other fumble was on Josh. It was a very bad handoff.
Oh, it was a horrible handoff. But they have to find a way to get this running game and get Cooks more involved to take away the feeling that Josh Allen has to do everything. And to me, anyway, the way you do that is to take your young back. You've got Latavius Murray, who's a great changeup. He had some great runs. Obviously, he's older. He's not going to break anything away. That's fine. Does a wonderful job in pass protection. He hits the hole. He does what he's supposed to do. But I really believe that to get this offense turned around to where this passing game starts getting back to where we want to be, is they've got to figure out a way to get Cooks to be a big-time focal point of it. And if we see that, I think they'll be fine. If we go back to where it's everything's on Josh Allen, you're going to see a lot of the same.
I agree. So just to let you guys know, so I got a call from the Bills the other day. They've recognized my game streak. So they actually asked me to be season ticket holder of the game this weekend coming up. So I'll take some pictures. I'll be on the field before the game. So it'll be cool. Hopefully it doesn't rain. Right now it's saying it's supposed to rain. So, but I've never actually been on the field. So, you know, I've been on a couple of stadiums fields but not the Bills. So it'll be cool.
I've been on a couple times. It's okay. It's a little overrated, but just a couple times. I just can't believe that I'm actually the bum of this show. I'm like a bum compared to you.
Shut up.
I mean,
you
seriously.
You were on there post game last year.
I'm like a damn bum, man. Like I just show up once a week. You're a rock star, man. I mean, well, seriously, we all aim to be like you, Sarah.
Yeah, stop. But no, I was definitely, he completely, you know, caught me off guard calling, and I'm excited. I've never been on the field before, so I'll definitely take some pictures. And, you know, they joked, they were like, I know you're row one, so it's not going to be much different than being on the field. And I was like, well, it's a little different, you know, but
no, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'll definitely be tweeting out some really cool pictures before the game and whatnot. So
you'll be down on before the game, and then they'll throw you up back up into your seat for the game.
Yeah. It's, you know, 45 minutes prior to kickoff. I got to go back to my seat. So,
okay.
But I'll see, you know, some of the workouts and everything, and just to be able to walk on the field, you know, like it's the little kid in me is freaking out because, you know, it's been years of me being a Bills fan, 36 years of me being a Bills fan. So
see, I think Ralph is right, man. I need to get some leather pants.
Yeah, I think so. If you want me to wear them in December, you're gonna have to wear some too. That picture would go viral.
If I wore leather pants, I'd look like a damn rhinoceros.
Oh, stop. No, that would be hilarious. That picture would definitely go viral.
But quickly,
I was just going to ask quickly, you know, thoughts of the Jets game?
Well, I mean, talk about jumping right back into the fire. You get to play a team to beat you in opening night at home with a new offense coordinator and a team that rolls in with a defense that is right up there at the best in the league. So,
and they caused four turnovers, which we just had four turnovers. So
exactly.
It makes me a little nervous. But I feel, I don't know. I feel every, I guess like the same thing with Las Vegas. Whenever you kind of go through that coaching change, mid-season or whatever, like it's something that happens, and well, even if it's only for 1 week, something happens in the locker room, and I'm hoping it was what was needed you know, to kind of shake up these guys a little bit. So I'm gonna say, you know, I think it'll still be a close game, unfortunately, but right now, and I joked about it yesterday, the Jets haven't scored a touchdown in like 36 possessions or something like that.
Right.
It's, you know, it's been like 11 quarters or it was something crazy statistic. So, you know,
what did the injury report say today? Did Benford play? Did he practice? What do we got?
He was not even on. So I wrote down the injury report. So, Phillips and Shearfield did not participate. Benford, Hyde, Lewis, and Williams were limited.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least he's out there, which is good.
Yeah. And, you know, so we'll see. I think that our biggest thing with the Jets on offense is just ensuring that we, you know, hold their run game within, you know, in check. And if we can do that, I think the defense will be successful. It's just got to score more points than we're allowing. So, yes. You know, like I said, the Jets haven't scored a touchdown in several games. So the Bills have a chance. But lately, I feel like we've played to our competition. But, you know, the Bills still have a chance in our division. We really do. So we could still win the AFC East. You know, things have to fall our way, obviously, but you know, we still play the Dolphins, which would be the other half game that we need there, and then we just need one other game for us to win and the Dolphins to lose. So we'll see how it works out, but you know, I'm not giving up on the team yet. I will say though, if I kind of have a feeling if they lose this game, the season might be kind of door closed and we might need to tear it down and rebuild.
I feel like a Batman ending. Can the Bills make the playoffs? Will Sarah make her consecutive streak game, or will she have COVID?
Oh, don't Don't put that negativity on me.
Can Joe Brady be the offensive coordinator that we all need? Can Josh Allen find his former form? That and more. Same time, same bad channel.
Matt just said I jinxed the Bills. I don't know what I just did. Probably because I said that, you know, there's a chance that they'll let them score a touchdown. I mean, the inevitable is coming. You can't go. It's the NFL. You can't go four games without scoring a touchdown. It just numbers are going to eventually happen. So we'll see. I'm going to say I see the Bills winning this game. I was talking to Jeremiah Poyer before the game the other day, and he thinks we're going to destroy the Jets. So I love his confidence. So I'm going to go with that. But I just feel like it'll be close again. It'll be low scoring, you know, probably 24 to 13, I'll say, or maybe even a little bit less on our BF because the Jets defense is really good. I would be okay with a 17-13 as long as we win.
Right. Well, hey, that does it for us. Remember, the hump day this week is canceled. It'll be next week. And you can check out the show. If you missed part of it, you can check us out on the podcast, on all, you know, major podcast providers. And we'll be back next week on Wednesday at our normal time.
Yes.
8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, Wednesday
night. No, you just said today's time. 9 o'clock Eastern.
9 o'clock Eastern. But it's 8 o'clock for me.
Yeah.
I'm in Central time zone. 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. We'll be back here on Wednesday night. Again, she's Sarah Larson. I'm the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you as always. Hit the like button, subscribe button. And remember, in the future, if you're on Facebook, you can come over here to YouTube. Jump in on the comments like everybody, Richard Rush, Matt Bynum, Ralph Wilson Sr. and the gang. We appreciate you as well. And as always, one love and go Bills.
Go Bills.